Yesterday I was actually very thankful to the Lord. Actually, since the topic of the conference was shared, I was very thankful to the Lord because imagine if the fellowship about the priesthood had started with holiness. The Lord is very wise. He started through the offerings. And then it was very interesting that we all could get into it. But praise the Lord that at this time, the Lord wants to take us deeper in this matter of the priesthood. When you speak about holiness, whoever you are, there's some uneasiness because we are not holy. Everybody gets uncomfortable. I remember in my uni days, I used to have this professor who happened to be a very serious Christian. I just became a Christian and I was very excited. And so before every class, I would want to preach the gospel. It was a wonderful opportunity. And I didn't know this professor had identified me. I still remember his name vividly. And so we became friends. But there's something about him. He talks about holiness a lot. In fact, in the signet on his car is holiness unto the Lord. And I liked him. I was a young Christian, but what he said about holiness was very scary for me. I just came into the university and I love the Lord, but this professor, he actually took me in one of my degree courses, management accounting. And but he was very strict. Looking back now, he even taught me so many things I didn't know. Some nice Hebrew words. I don't know. He said holiness is hagiophune. I think I still remember some of the words he used to call. But he was very strict. In fact, one thing that scared me about him was in my degree exams, in the final exams. Then we were not doing semester, we were doing a full year. And then I visited him after I graduated, and then he told me about myself, and he told me that he saw my script. He saw my script. And I was 1 mark short of entering. I schooled in a very nice school, and employers hire you at your last, when you're coming out in the last, and they need a very nice grade. And he said I had 1 mark short of making it to the next grade, and he didn't give it to me. That's how strict he was. And he had the boldness to tell me to my face, right? So growing up, holiness has been, it's a bit scary, right? At times, maybe you want to work out our own holiness. So yesterday we heard about holiness, and today we want to talk about sanctification. I was trying to reconcile the two words because we use them interchangeably. In many times, we use these two words, holiness and sanctification. But while going through this, I came with a very interesting definition of my understanding of the combination of the two of them. It's easier to see sanctification as a experiential aspect of holiness. Sanctification as the experiential aspect of holiness. With God, holiness is his person, his intrinsic nature. But for us, holiness is our sanctification. So when God's holiness becomes our experience, this is sanctification. God is holy, that's his nature. When we experience this nature, we are sanctified. You know, in geography, the equator, even though they say the sun is universal, but it's hotter at the equator. Actually, they say it's the same distance. But at the equator, it's at 90 degrees. So the energy and the strength of the sun is intensified at that 90 degrees. And as you go further, the north and the south pole, the atmosphere, the hemisphere, right, kind of is broadened. So even though it's the same strength, the heat is reduced. I like to liken this with our experience of God who is holy and our sanctification. Yesterday night, we saw the brother mentioned about Abihu and Nadab and Abihu. I like to read a few verses there, which actually struck me in Leviticus chapter 10 and verse 3. Leviticus 10 and verse 3. I can read. It says, maybe I just read from 1 to 3. Then Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it, put incense on it, and offered profane fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. So the fire went out from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. And Moses said to Aaron, this is what the Lord spoke, saying, by those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy, and before all the people, I must be glorified. So Aaron held his peace.
Amen.
So God said, those who draw near to me must regard me as holy. Now, you see what I mean? When we are bringing our offerings, I'm not very sure we have this realization that we're bringing an offering to a holy God. When we draw near to God, we should regard God as holy. But in our real experience, is that really the case? Sometimes we put a little bit of honey, or maybe some leaven, right? The Lord said, those who draw near to me, we should regard him as holy. I'll read another verse in a Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10, verse 19. I read 19 to 22. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus,
by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water.
Yeah, sometimes that is me. I used to have this confusion between what the blood does. The blood is for our redemption. We're redeemed, you know. But how do we come close to God? You know, I realized that in the old covenant, in the Old Testament, we saw that there was a brazen laver that the priest needs to wash before he can enter. So this is different from the blood, right? So when we are saved, we are redeemed, we are brought back to God. That is what the blood does. But how about the water? Here it says, in the last part of where we read, it says, verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. For us to draw near to God, we need this washing. We need this washing, not washing from sin. We need to be washed by the Word of God. I'd like to go through a few verses about this laver in Exodus chapter 30, verse 17 to Exodus 30, verse 17 to 21. Exodus 30, verse 17. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, you shall also make a laver of bronze,
with his base also of bronze, for washing. You shall put it between the tabernacle of meeting and the altar, and you shall put water in it. For Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and their feet in water from it, when they go into the tabernacle of meeting, or when they come near the altar to minister, to burn an offering made by fire to the Lord. They shall wash with water, lest they die. So they shall wash their hands and their feet, lest they die. And it shall be a statute forever to them, to him and his descendants throughout their generations.
We all need this daily washing. This is different from the cleansing from sin. This is the washing in Ephesians. It says the washing of the water by the Word of God. This is our sanctification. You know, I was reading this and a verse popped up to me. And I think it's Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3. It says, the will of God. Wow. You know, especially the young people. So many times you want to know what the will of the Lord is. I just found it. And he says, amen. What else are you looking for? The will of God is our sanctification. Maybe I just read it for the sake of the young people. I love this place so much. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3. Maybe I ask a young person to read it for me. James, can you help me? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3.
For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality.
Amen. Amen. I was impressed when I saw that this is the will of God, our sanctification. But how do we get sanctified? That's a problem. Anybody know how can we be sanctified? I told you about this professor of mine. His way was very hard. It was very difficult. In fact, it scared me away from him. So how do we get sanctified? Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5:26-27.
Yeah. You are sanctified and cleansed with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself, the glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish.
That's okay.
So did you see the solution, how to be sanctified? It is a washing of the water by the word of God. This is not a doctrine. I can tell you my experience. As you read the word of God, something is happening in you. It is magical. You experience it. Nobody will tell you. Something is happening. The problem is the mind. There's so many things in the mind. How can we deal with this mind? Even as we're sitting down here, some people's mind may not be here. No, I'm very serious. You know what I'm talking about. How can your mind be so dirty? The brother was giving us illustration yesterday. How can we have such a mind and we draw near a holy God? As priests, but there's something. I have a good news. The word of God can do that. You know, I realize that the more I spend time in the word, my being, you know what I'm talking about. My being is being cleansed. My thoughts. This is what the word does to us. It cleanses us from within. The effect is automatic. I'll give you an example. You know, as we are all seated down here in this environment, we're sanctified, at least to some extent. Do you know why? Because the word is cleansing us. We're receiving the word. We're being cleansed. I can assure you, there's a limit to which your mind can wander. How about this becomes our daily life? When we spend more time in God's word, right? Some things of us are taken away. You know, I read in Luke chapter 1, talks about, in verse 15, it talks about the birth of Jesus Christ. He said, it's by the Holy Spirit. Even in verse 35, it talked about the Holy One to be born. In other words, he was conceived by the Holy Spirit. He was born holy. That's what the Bible says. Then you just flip a little bit to John chapter 17. He says, for their sake, I sanctify myself. Does a holy God need to sanctify himself? He is holy. But he wanted to show us an example. He said, and sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. It is this word that does the sanctifying work in each one of us. And It's not a doctrine. It's real. What do you fill your mind with? Sometimes you go to bed, you dream where you're having dinner with Trump. What did you fill your mind with? Most times the dreams we have is a function of the things we think during the day. And what did the Bible say we should think about? Young people? Things that are... Come on, don't disappoint me. Philippians. Consider these things, the things to think about, right? Things that are... Yes? Oh, Lord. Anyway, when these are the things that go on in our mind, trust me, our minds will be cleansed. You know, this is different from sin because it is when this graduates, then it gives rise to sin. Yeah, we see that. But when we put our mind on the things of Christ, somehow we feel light. This is the will of God, our sanctification. To put our mind on the things that are pure. How can we do this? Every day you're focused on YouTube, on the internet. Trust me, something from there is entering into you. What does it do? It defiles you. And guess what? As it progresses, the accuser of the brethren accuses you. You lose your standing. And then, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, you cannot see God again. Because he said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now, how can we be priests and serve this holy God if we are so defiled inside? It's very interesting that today, at least, we can all agree that we are priests. Is anybody here who is not a priest? Praise the Lord. But how do the priests serve? The priest serves the holy God in a holy sanctuary. How can you be so unholy to serve the holy God? You know, I was reading these things. As I was going through this, the Lord was opening myself to me. I wish I could say like Peter, Lord, let's remain here. Let's make three tabernacles, right? Let's make three tents, right? And stay in this environment where we can experience his presence. There are so many things that hinder our sanctification. Sometimes unconsciously, unknowingly. Worldly lust. In James chapter 1, verse 14. In James 1, 14. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed.
Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death.
So at first, it's not a sin. Yeah, but it progresses, right? And what does it do? It affects our sanctification. You remember, he's a holy God, and we want to come to him. But you have a sense of defilement. You've not really done anything bad, but the enemy begins to accuse you. Come on, you spent 4 hours on video game, right? You want to pray to God, you think God will answer you? That's what he does. He's the accuser of the brethren. But these are the things that affect, like Song of Songs talks about little foxes. These are the things that affect our sanctification. Uncleanness and passion. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 3 to 8, I like to read this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 3 to 8. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lusts like the Gentiles who do not know God. No one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such. As we also forewarned you and testified, for God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has also given us the Holy Spirit. You know, when we are baptized, we also have the privilege of receiving the Holy Spirit. But as we defile our mind, this is the opposite, right? Either we are filled with the Word of God, yeah, and let the Word of God dwell in you richly, right? You know, it produces some things. But if we are not filled with the Word of God, you know there is no vacuum, right? Something else will fill it, right? Depending on what it is. But if it is not the Holy Spirit, it will be difficult for the Holy Spirit to coexist. Yeah? With our unholy and unholy environment of our heart. So we should also be mindful that we are priests. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, in verse 22, it talks about every kind of evil. Saints, to be sanctified, we must be diligent not to harbor evil thoughts. Not for anybody, not for one another. We are priests who should appear before the Father. And God is very holy. That's his nature. I love this illustration I give about the sun. The sun is hot. But depending on where you are, I came from Africa. I came from Nigeria, almost at the equator. It's very hot. Sometimes when it is minus 20 in Toronto, I see the sun, but it doesn't have any heat. That cannot happen in Nigeria. The heat is gone, right? So we shouldn't make light of the Holy God by our living. He is holy, and we are his priests. People can't see God, but they will see us. People can't see the Holy God, But they will see you and I. Do they see sanctification? The words that come out of our mouth, is it filled with grace? But if you don't have grace, you cannot produce grace, isn't it? Of course, we know loving the world, just very little, it's like leaven, very little, it affects our sanctification. Unfortunately, in every aspect of our life and living, we come in contact with the world. Do we love the world? These are the things that take away our sanctification. With this last warning, I'd like us to read 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 to 17, and I'll be done. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. As priests, saints, it becomes, the brother said yesterday, it's not optional. It is compulsory that we need to be sanctified. We can't serve before this holy God in a common way. I pray the Lord will impress this upon our heart. Grant us a vision of this holy God like we saw yesterday. But that this vision would also do something in each one of us. Put the way we desire to bring our offerings, right? I pray that we also desire to be sanctified, right? You're serving a nice meal to the Father in a dirty dish. No, the Father won't take that. Trust me.